Good afternoon, guys. Hope you're all having a good day. I come to you first not as an expert on this subject. I'm just a fellow man, so I'm going to suffer. I struggle with a lot of the things we're going to talk about today, but hopefully I can be an encouragement to you. Some of the things I want to cover, and before we get to that, though, I really want to take a moment and ask you guys to bow your heads, and you got to follow instructions here. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you to respond. And then don't look up until I tell you you can look up. So with your heads bowed, I want every man in here to really think about your job, what you do, whether you're retired, or you're currently employed, or you're looking for work. Do you find what you do on a daily basis pleasing to God? Raise your hand if you do. Do you feel that you're able to be used in your work to be pleasing to God? Raise your hand. Lord God, I want to thank you for these men. God, as I looked around this room, Lord, you saw the men who did not raise their hand either time. Lord God, I pray that this can be a message of hope and encouragement for them, because, Lord God, you called all of us to be workers. I thank you for these men, and I just pray that you would help us to receive your word. Amen. All right, guys. Workers pleasing to God. We all have that definition of what workers pleasing to God is, but our definition is different. Like a snowflake, no two are alike. So we can all stop and think about that question now or later today, and you're going to wonder, and it's going to change as you think more about it. But I guess the first challenge I have for you guys is to really ask yourself, do you find yourself pleasing to God in your work? And if you do, can you say with absolute assurance that the people around you each and every day, whether it's your work situation or whatever the situation may be, through your actions, they see God is the leader of your life? I think it's a question we need to ask ourselves and think about. There are several definitions to the word work. A couple of them are exertion or effort directed to produce or accomplish something, to labor or to toil over something. Something on which exertion or labor is expended, a task for the undertaking. The students finished their work in class. Employment, as in some form of industry, occupation, what it means to earn a livelihood, to have an effect or an influence on a person or on the mind or feelings of a person. How about pleasing? What does it mean to please? As an adverb, it's used as a polite addition to requests or commands. If you'd please be so obliging, if you would please kindly do this. A verb used with an object, to act to the pleasure or satisfaction of, to be the pleasure of or will, and then to give pleasure or to be agreeable in manners. There are several characteristics that make up a godly man. What are those? I believe some of them are discernment, a man who is focused, who is trustworthy, who is self-motivated, one who is slow to anger. That's probably my biggest struggle right there. I'm really quick to pull out the sword and chop someone's head off, and it's something that I've got men like John Tice in my life that remind me of that whenever I react too quickly. They're not harsh with me, but they simply say, hey, you had an opportunity to put it back in the sheath and hold on. And so I try to hear that encouragement and that leading and apply it to my life daily. One who is a Berean or who studies the Scriptures. That's another characteristic of a man who's pleasing to God. Is the study of God's Word essential in your life? Just like our physical bodies, our spiritual minds need nourishment that can only come from the Word of God and from fellowship with the Lord. I mean, talking to God, whether you're going into the gym driving to the grocery store, whatever you're doing, talk to God. He's our best friend. He wants to have that time with us. He uses those times to reveal things to us. I want to read some scripture for you guys, and I'm going to start in 2 Timothy. And just bear with me. No one had any turkey yet, so hopefully you won't fall asleep when I'm reading. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules and the guidelines of the game. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember, Christ Jesus raised us from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even unto the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained, it is free. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. As a workman approved to God, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is not the value and only ruins those who listen. Any of you guys ever get stuck at work arguing with someone over something that's really just a waste of time, but you want to prove that point? Anyone? Anyone? All right, I don't feel so alone here. We all deal with that. We all suffer from that. What kind of person does God use to fulfill his special purpose? Men who rely on his teaching and his leading, but most importantly, men who are willing to follow his lead, to patiently await for the time that God deems appropriate, not on our time, but on his time. Are you a leader in the workplace? Do you attribute success factors to people or things other than yourself, or do you take it all for yourself? Do you claim the prize every time? Do you set up your successors to have greater success than yourself? Do you really have the attitude that it's not about me? Jim Caldwell, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, describes Coach Dungy's leadership style like this: he allowed those around him to function in an atmosphere where autonomy was the rule and not the exception. He nurtured and cultivated both players and coaches. He molded without pressing. He nudged without pushing. He led without dragging. Can you say the same about yourself or those around you? I've asked a couple of volunteers today to come up here and to share with you guys how they feel they are pleasing to God through their work. I'm going to call on Jeff Lowry first to come up here and share with us.
Here we go. I had a call last night at 11:30. He was in a panic. He only had 15 minutes of a talk, so he asked an attorney and a politician to come up here and save him. So that's what we're going to try to do this morning. Now, he asked us last week, how are you? How am I pleasing to God through your work? And I thought that was a really interesting question. And I think the answer is, and I think if you look at your outline there, the answer is right there on the application, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And that's why I want to just a couple of minutes focus on that. It says, whatever you are doing, work at it with enthusiasm as to the Lord and not for man, because you know that you will receive your inheritance from the Lord as a reward. And I want to focus on that word enthusiasm. What does that really mean? Well, to me it means three things. Number one, thanksgiving. If you have a job, You should be thankful that you have a job. There are men here that have lost jobs, that are looking for jobs. And if we're working, we should give the thanks to the Lord God Almighty. Now, I know they call it work for a reason, right, guys? Work piles up. Sometimes we all are doing things on a daily basis that we don't like to do. And I don't know about you, but if you're dealing with people, sometimes people are a pain in the butt, right? Amen? Amen. That's why they call it work. But we need to have that attitude that God, you've put me in this place for a reason. Thank you. Have an attitude of thanksgiving. Have a heart, a thankful heart. So I think I'm pleasing. I think you're pleasing when we have a thankful heart. Number two, that we have, and Mike's already talked about this a little bit, that we have a servant's attitude. We don't want to take our customers, our clients, our bosses, our co-workers for granted. We are there, at least I think our attitude should be as Christians, to serve and not to be served. So I think a servant's attitude, again, a thankful heart, and then number three, that whatever we do it in an excellent manner or an excellent way. We do the best that we can. What does that communicate to our co-workers and other people around us if we're lazy, we're not doing the job that we're supposed to do? There's an axiom that says you cannot not communicate. We are always communicating. And if people see us not fulfilling our responsibilities or lazy, and we're lazy, what does that say about the cause of Christ? As Christians, we are to set the example. And it's like this says, whatever we do it with enthusiasm as to the Lord and not for men. So we do the best we can. So just again, as a summary, how do I and how do you work? Is that pleasing to God? I think we do it with a thankful heart. I think we have a servant's attitude, and then we always do the best we can.
Thanks, Jeff. Mike?
He told me I had 2 minutes. I told him that wouldn't be a problem. No, I think I took maybe a little different take than Jeff did. Most of you probably know I work at Ivy Tech Community College, but I'm not an instructor, and I think teachers probably have a pretty easy way of understanding that their work's pleasing to God because they're helping people learn and maybe achieve and be better. But I'm in an environment where education is, but I work in facilities, and so what we do is we take care of the buildings and grounds and do room setups and package deliveries, and we're really kind of the worker bees. If you've ever been at the Great Banquet and been on the Agape team, just imagine going to work every morning and you're like the head Agape guy. That's kind of what my job is at the college. And I'm certain that what we do pleases God because inevitably it's happened probably a half a dozen times in the 8 years I've been there. I've been given the opportunity to witness to people. It really is a mission field. And I think all of our workplaces, our coworkers, our customers, people that we interact with, we have the opportunity to witness to those people. And I've had a couple opportunities, and those opportunities just reassure me that my work is pleasing to God because He keeps presenting those opportunities to me. So I would just encourage you in your workplace to look at your coworkers, your customers, acquaintances, people that you find yourself interacting with. And if you're working with enthusiasm, you're working hard at your job, people are going to appreciate that. And you are going to have the best opportunity ever to witness to them. So that would be my message to you in the couple minutes I have. Thank you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you sharing and taking that time to fill up my talk. So good job, guys. I want to read Joshua 1:8. Excuse me. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful in all that you do. No matter what we do, guys, we've got to allow this, the Word of God, to dictate what we do and how we live our lives. That's the standard. I mean, look around the room. There's some people in here that I'm sure you admire, but they're not the standard. If they're using the Word of God, that's a good person to follow. If they're not, you need to get behind someone different. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 6 says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the exact same Lord. God works in different ways, but in the same, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Being a Christian doesn't mean you've got to be mushy or lazy or weak in the workplace either. Those of you who don't know, I work at Button Dodge, Button Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, just for clarification there. I'm very proud and enjoy what I do. I've got a great employer, and I'm very fortunate. I'm surrounded by a lot of great employees, and we've got a great team there. And my true desire is to work myself out of a job someday so that the position I'm in is no longer needed. My boss knows that's my desire, and that to me will be the test of if I've done my job well, if I'm no longer needed. But I talk to people all the time that know where I work. They know Rex, they know Don Button, they know John Tice, and they say, "You got it made though, because you work at Button Dodge, you work with those guys. Are you kidding me? Do you think that makes it easier?" It's not that easy to follow someone when this is their standard for life. When this is the guide for how we run our business. Sometimes it'd be a lot easier whenever I'm having a bad day or I want to chop someone's head off. If I was following someone that would support me and say, "Yeah, do that. Get rid of that guy, get rid of that lady, whatever." But that's not the case. I got to follow someone who's following the ultimate standard. I'm thankful for it, but it doesn't make it easy. I've also, though, worked in an environment. I spent a lot of years in manufacturing, running facilities and in the trenches, and I loved it. I mean, it was a passion that I still have in my life. There were machines and processes in our factories that I don't even think they had real names. I mean, they were pretty foul-sounding words that I'm not going to repeat here. But even in that kind of environment, you could still have an impact on people. So if you work somewhere, whether you work for the street department or you're a police officer or you work, I don't care what you do, there's opportunity in what you do to serve God and to be a leader. The question is, if you're going to ditch the excuses, you're going to step up and lead. If you want to just sit back, that's your choice too, but you won't be successful. I encourage you guys, look around. There is opportunity to serve. There's opportunity to set the example. I worked at a place before that, one of the factories I worked at before, our HR department wouldn't let us have a Bible study on company premise because they were afraid that it would create a hostile work environment for those who did not believe in Christ or had a different belief. That was pretty awkward, I thought. So we just went to Cracker Barrel and met. It can be done. In that same factory, I led several employees to the Lord. It wasn't something I made public, but I took an opportunity of the platform that I have, just like every one of you have. You have a platform in what you do to make a difference. People will listen to you. They'll follow you if they see that you're sincere and that you're real. No one wants to follow a fake. I really consider it an honor to be here, guys, to talk about this stuff. Because like I said, I'm not an expert on it. I think I could probably talk on the subject of leadership for hours upon hours. I love leadership, and probably the reason is I'm not very good at it. So I like to learn a lot about it. I like to study it, and I like to try to get better at it. But I want you guys to really take some time today, and I wanted to leave ample time for discussion today. So that if there's some silence, I don't want anyone to feel rushed with, "Well, why don't we go and just wrap up and pray and let everyone go?" No, let that awkward silence work on you today. Think about it. Think about the excuses that you make every day in your life when you're at work, and think about what you're going to do differently with it. It's a challenge to you guys. I'm not talking down to you because I'm one of you, and I deal with the same thing. But please, guys, take this opportunity to grow from it. Lord God, thanks for these men. Lord, I ask that you would just use this time that we have today, Lord, to bring glory and honor to you. Thank you for the words that you've given us, Lord, and for the ultimate guide, Lord, the ruler, your word of God that we can stand on every day. I thank you, God, and I ask you to bless these men and their families. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.